through a series called Life in Christ. This series is about those things, and it's certainly not a conclusive series. I mean, there are a million things we could say are part of the life in Christ. But these are based on a book that I read, the Coherence, Hope, Forgiveness wasn't one of them, but I thought you cannot talk about life in Christ without that one, and Agency and Coherence and Blessing. This week, we're getting to agency. Agency is this notion that people need to know that what they're doing has purpose. That if you have purpose to what you're doing, it's so much more enjoyable. And I believe this is one of the great gifts of Christianity, that when we know that what we are doing has a purpose in Christ, that it has eternal purposes, go long beyond our years on earth. When we understand that, we will enjoy what we do. Instead of going off to work like Grumpy and Seven Dwarfs saying, I owe, so off to work I go, we can actually enjoy what we're doing. We can whistle while we work. And I believe that that's a key to enjoying whatever we're doing, whether we're volunteers or whether we're working at a secular job. If this sermon today, I think, could really help a lot of people. And I hope that each of you will really take this in, because there are so many people who do not enjoy what they do. There's a reason why our biggest energy crisis in America is Monday morning, and everybody's working for the weekend. And say, no, there's a better way. God wants us to enjoy every single day. And I believe we can. And that's what this sermon is about today. So, whatever you do, this is a key verse for us today. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you were working for the Lord, not for human masters. That is a key. Ecclesiastes talks about how whatever we have, no matter what we have, it's from God, and if we just acknowledge that, we can enjoy everything that we have. But that is the key part of this, to understand that it all starts with God, it all originates there, and it all finishes with God. God is part of everything. And so if we have that focus, we will be able to live our lives so much better. So first thing I want to say this morning is God intends work to be worship. It really does. God intends our work to be worship. And I don't know if you've really thought about that very much, but wouldn't it be better for us all as a people if we understood our work to be that? I mean, in these days when we listen to every whisper from Janet Yellen, no pun intended, yes, it was intended, but every little word that she says, I remember Greenspan speaking to the Economic Club one time, he said that if you draw any conclusions from anything that I'm saying, then I'm surely being too clear. We live in a crazy world where people think that it's all about making money. But money is not fulfilling. It's only a tool. It's not a deity. And so when we treat work like it's just a way to get money, no wonder work can be such a burden. No wonder work can make people miserable if that's all it is. But if work is worship, and that's what God intends it to be, it's an obedient act to God. Remember when we were put out of the Garden of Eden? Remember that? You know, everyone knows, everyone that started through the Bible, they at least got to this. They got kicked out of the garden, okay? They know that God said that you will now work by the sweat of your brow. And so, but there was always work. We know that God told them to start naming the animals as soon as he created Adam. So we know that this was always part of our creation, but in the fall, yeah, there's the sweat of the brow. It's harder. There's challenges to work. But nonetheless, there can still be blessing in the work. And this is what God wants it to be. Do you know the word liturgy actually means the work of the people? Did you know that? Liturgy, it's really two words, Lagos and Ergon, put together, it's the work of the people. And liturgy is what we do when we come to church. We've been working our way through the liturgy this morning. We had the call to worship, the prelude, and all these things, and the invocation. We're working our way through the liturgy. But what's interesting to me is that the Hebrews of the Old Testament did not have a word for religion. Did you know that? They didn't have that word. There's no word in the Hebrew, in the ancient Hebrew, for religion, because they did not see worship as something that was reduced to 1 hour a week. For them, they lived in God. That's just what they did. Yahweh was ever present. Whatever they were doing, and remember what they were commanded in Deuteronomy 6, teach them when you're going out and you're coming in, you're laying down and getting up. All day long was just completely immersed in knowing that they were part of God's creation. That is the key to enjoying work. God wants us to enjoy it. Let's read Romans 12, 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Wow. To take everything that you are, to your body, your mind, your back, everything that you have, and say, this is my purpose, to use this for the glory of God. And whatever I'm doing all day long, whether I'm working or brushing my teeth so it'll make a good presentation to the community, whatever it is, it's all for the glory of God. This is truly the way to worship him, not to just show up 1 hour a week, as important as corporate worship is. And you'll never hear me dish corporate worship. It's key. But I'm telling you, if that's all there is, then we're missing the point. The point is all of life, including work. And if work is done this way, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I've always enjoyed work. And my wife says sometimes I enjoy it too much. And that's probably true. I really enjoy work. I've always enjoyed it, whether I was dairy farming or as a pastor. When I was dairy farming, Beth would say she could hear me whistling all over the farm. She always knew if I was around, she'd hear me whistling. Because I loved what I was doing until I was called to be a pastor. And when I was called to be a pastor, I didn't enjoy farming for those couple months till I accepted the call. And as soon as I accepted the call and started college, I enjoyed farming again till I was done farming and then became a pastor. And I got to tell you, I really love being a pastor. If you haven't noticed this yet. Thank you. God be the glory because he called me to it. And I just think it is the most wonderful thing to know that you're in the midst of God's will for your life, to know that whatever you're doing, this is what God has called you to and wants you to get the best out of it and doesn't mind if you're blessed by it. And that's the amazing thing about it. Isn't it wonderful to just work and enjoy your work and come to the end of the week and they happen to give you a paycheck? It's like, wow, that's cool. That's on top of it. Instead of, I got to get to Friday to get my paycheck. What a difference, huh? This is what God wants us to get today. To know that whatever I'm doing, God's in it. And to understand that if I'm working for God, man, and you don't have to be a pastor to work for God. You understand that, right? Everybody works for God. We're all part of God's redemptive purposes. And if you're working to make the world a better place, whether you're working at a garage fixing cars, you're working to teach young people, you're working whatever you're doing, if you're working to make this world a better place, you are part of God's redemptive work. And if that doesn't give you agency, I don't know what does. You have a purpose to whatever you are doing if it's part of the redemptive work. And that's important to catch. Because if it's not redemptive, then it's like this. It's work without God. And that work is futile. And that work is truly the worst thing that you could be caught in. Now, some people think that they only work to pay bills. Let me tell you something. You could pay bills a lot of ways. I'm not naive. I know you got to pay bills. But you could pay bills with inheritance. You could pay bills with fake disability. You could pay bills with welfare. You could pay bills with dishonesty. You could pay bills in all kinds of ways. But you're not going to be fulfilled until you're working with God. You can work really hard taking advantage of people and you're not going to be fulfilled. Because those types of things only make us know that we're dirt. Those things don't work. God wants us to know that we have purpose and that we are part of the redemptive work of God. You know, I don't know about you, but when I think of what God can do, I don't want to waste my life. I want to set up a video I'm about to show you here. This video, I don't recommend this movie. I saw the trailer, and it makes the point that I'm trying to make really well. This movie is looking for a friend at the end of the world. And the point of the movie is that this asteroid's about to hit. Okay? They know in 3 weeks an asteroid is going to hit planet Earth and destroy all life. And they have to go to work. So catch this.
The final mission to save mankind has failed. The 70-mile-wide asteroid known as Matilda is set to collide with Earth in exactly 3 weeks' time, and we'll be bringing you our countdown to the end of days, along with all your classic rock favorites.
So, feel free to wear your casual Friday clothing pretty much any day of the week. And if anyone wants to be CFO, anyone?
So, what are you doing with the rest of your life?
Catching up on some me time, find God, maybe move around some chairs.
Maybe I'll run into you on orgy or something.
That sounds nice. Listen, Elsa, you don't have to come next week or ever if you don't want to. It's okay.
You fighting me?
There's just no need. Forget it.
See you next week, Mr. Dutch.
I regret my entire life.
Okay.
Bye. Bye now.
We should set up Dodge with Karen, don't you think?
It's everything I never wore.
So there you have it. I mean, I regret my entire life, he says. He's got 3 weeks to live. He's working a job that he hates. What a terrible existence. This is what the psalmist said about all this. Let's read this together. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Jesus said, work for food that lasts. That's what he said. We are called to work for food that lasts, and he understands that if you work for just something that only lasts for a day, you're not going to enjoy life. I had a good friend at the last church named Charlie Terwilliger, who was a contractor. And Charlie said that he would go out and he would get called to put in a new kitchen or whatever the case may be. And they would stand there and go, wow, now I'm going to be happy. This is awesome. A couple months later, they call him to come back and fix something else. That stuff doesn't fulfill. I've always said money is a tool. It's not a goal. Money is a tool. It's not a deity. It's not the answer. It is only something to be used. And if we are only working for that goal, you're going to hate your work. And I don't care what you're doing. If that is your goal, to just get money, you're going to hate your life. But if you're working for God's redemptive purposes, you will enjoy your life. And the paycheck will just be a bonus. I want people to live that way. I want people to enjoy life because I know God's heart, and I know that's what God wants for people. He does not want them living in miserable, dead-end jobs that they hate and despise, and know that has no eternal purposes, to know that whatever they do is a waste of time. Wouldn't that be awful? But friends, it doesn't have to be that way, and I don't care what you're doing as long as it has redemptive purposes. I mean, If you're cleaning up an old person in a home, that's redemptive. You're fixing somebody's car, that's redemptive. You're growing food, that's redemptive. You're teaching someone, that's redemptive. There's all kinds of redemptive things to do. But we need to think about, am I just doing this for money? And if we are, we got to get that God out of our lives and work for God. And to think about redemption, when we do that, it is life-giving. Because now your life has purpose. Now your life has meaning. and it will be meaning and useless if it's only about getting money. You know, I remember a friend who told me, he was part of a prayer group, and he says, I have this family that just this week he was telling me, I've trusted God all my life. I've tithed. And I always knew that God would take care of me. But we've developed health problems. Things aren't going well. Our son's an alcoholic. He's blowing through money. And he says, I can't believe it's come to this. But he says, would you believe he got T-boned yesterday, killed him and his wife outright. Isn't that great? I'm like, Bruce, are you nuts? You know, he was dead serious. And here's the thing. They were hit by a drunk driver. Their son quit drinking. They went to heaven. The irony of ironies, huh? Just trusting God. Came to almost the very last day of his life knowing that God had taken care of him. But he was beginning to wonder, is God going to take care of me in these final days? And God did. I know it's kind of sick in a way, the way Bruce put it, but maybe there's something to it. I don't know. I just look for ways to redeem things. I want us to enjoy our work. Whether we're working here at the church and volunteering, boy, there's nothing more redemptive than working with children and helping them to know that they are created in the image of God and have a purpose for their lives. There's nothing more redemptive than taking a meal to a family that's having a hard time. There's nothing more redemptive than just greeting each other with a smile as an usher. There's nothing more redemptive. All of these things are so important. They're so important. They really change lives. This is what life is about. I want us to enjoy life that way. Do you want to enjoy life? Do you? Now, I know I'm not talking to everybody this morning. Not all of you want to have great influence out there, do you? But I'm talking to people that want to make some noise. Okay? So I'm talking to you. You want to make some noise? You want to make the world a better place? You know, I think of people, let's use Detroit as an example. Companies that sold out to a corporation knowing that they were going to close the company and move the jobs out of town. What ended up happening? They live in a town that was declining. If we're trying to make the world a better place, we actually are blessed because of it, aren't we? If we work to make Indiana the best place on earth, we get to live in the best place on earth. Try to outdo God. You've heard me say this many times. You can't do it. You just can't do it. God is so big. He has eternal resources. No matter what we do, God is going to outdo us and make it just overwhelm us. Because he has the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has everything at his disposal. And all I want is to make the world a better place, knowing that he's going to bless me at the end of it. And he does. I love this about God. I have never seen a command of God that told us to be miserable. Every command of God is a life-giving command to tell us, do this, and it will go well with you. He tells us, even as we leave the Garden of Eden, go and work. And guess what? When we go to work in this fallen world and make it a better place, we end up in our obedience enjoying life more. This is how God's commands work. All of them. And it's a beautiful thing. You want the right motivation for work? Make it about people. If you make it about people, you will enjoy what you're doing. I'm telling you, this is the key. If you make it about stuff, you will not enjoy it. You've got to always be thinking about other people. You know, like the bomb squad guy said, if you see me running, keep up. You've got to be thinking about everybody else. And when you're thinking about everybody else, you become a redemptive person. Psalm 122:8-9. Could we read this together? For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you, O Jerusalem. That is the right motivation. How much better is that than voting people off of islands? We come in here every single week to worship God first, but secondly, to challenge our worldviews by God's worldview. And God's worldview is you don't take advantage of people, you bless people. When you bless people, you end up being blessed in the long run. That's how it works. And I don't know how else to explain it this morning, but exploiting is not the gospel. The gospel is about caring and helping others. And that's just the way it is. And when you keep the gospel, it blesses. It not only blesses others, but it blesses you. And that's so cool. God orders creation so work can bless us. Did you know that? I mean, he's really okay with this. He's okay with us being blessed by our work. He doesn't mind. It's not wrong to get rich. It really isn't, as long as it's done right. But if it's done because that's the goal, then you missed the point. But God doesn't mind blessing. In fact, you know, the scripture tells us all good things come down from the Father of lights. He is a God of blessing. And he is really good with you being blessed. He has no issue with that whatsoever. So in our obedience, what we end up with is being able to take care of ourselves, our families, and enjoy the fruits of our labor, as long as we're understanding the whole time that our labor, all the fruit that we get from it, is a gift from God. I love how the Ecclesiastes writer puts it. Could we read it together? So I concluded, there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. You say, I worked hard to get what I have. Okay. Then I'll remind you of the old story about the bishop that preached on being a good steward of all that God's given us. So an old landowner said, I'd like to invite you back to my place for dinner. They get out of the fancy car at the fancy ranch and start walking toward the house. And the landowner says, take a look. I worked hard to get all this. And are you telling me I don't own this? The bishop said, ask me in 100 years. But God is so good, he left him use it for his lifetime. You know, one of these days, old Bill Blair, he's going to tip over. You understand that, right? And when I tip over, everything I have is like sands through my fingers. And that's okay, because I get to use it while I'm here. And then I get to pass it on to someone else. So I get to be blessed and be a blessing. How awesome is that? And people think God is mean. Jeez. He says, I just want to bless you. And I believe that God can bless us. But we get it mixed up in our heads. We think we're not blessed. I love, you know, what I hear on the radio every now and then. This guy, he always says, when they say, how are you? They say, oh, blessed more than I deserve. Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful way to think about your life. Better than I deserve. Because when you think like that, you understand how blessed you are. And I think there are so many people who go through life with all kinds of blessings, not realizing they're actually very blessed. If you've been on a mission trip, you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to have a double-wide refrigerator and central air and even wooden floors to be happy. I've been in third-world countries that have far less than anything that we have and are far happier than most Americans. There are a lot of depressed, unhappy people living in fancy homes in America. And that's reality. Let us not be like the little girl in Hollywood who said, my whole family's poor. My mommy's poor. My daddy's poor. The maid is poor. The butler's poor. The groundskeeper's poor. And it really is perspective. And I think really that's what today's message is about. What's your perspective? Are you using your life to try to get as much as you can before you die? Or are you living your life to try to be a blessing to others? Are you living your life enjoying the blessing that God puts you on you and says, you know, I'm good with this. Enjoy it. Eat, drink, enjoy the fruits of your labor. These are gifts from God. Do you understand that everything you have is a gift from God? I didn't create my brain, you know? I didn't create my back. God did. Everything that I can do with this back and brain, and I know some of you think you got a lot more back than you got brain. But everything that I do with it, and every gift that I get because God's given me this, is because of God. And I feel blessed. I feel very blessed. I hope you do too. I hope that you really feel like you are an absolute blessed person who is blessed to be a blessing. When you think like that, you will have the gift of life in Christ. Because I've never seen happy, greedy people. It's both and. We are blessed to be a blessing. I'd like to finish with kind of a benediction before the benediction, because there's more service to go. There's more worship to go. But may there always be work for your hands to do. May your purse always hold a coin or two. May the sun always shine on your window pane. May a rainbow be certain to follow each rain. And may the hand of a friend always be near you. May God fill your heart with gladness to cheer you. That's my wish. That's God's wish. God bless you. He loves you so much. Please know He wants to bless you. Be well. Be healthy. Work well. Work with integrity. Share the blessing. And enjoy life. Amen. Thank you. To God be the glory. Lord God, we commit our work to you. Whether we're volunteering or working a secular job or working in ministry, we commit it all to you today. We commit it not only to an offering plate which is about to be passed, but we commit it, Lord, to your service. Whatever you want to be done, Lord, put us to doing or put us to nothing, as Wesley prayed in the covenant prayer. But Lord, we pray that indeed we would find pleasure in our work. If there's anybody here hating their work, Lord, I pray that if it can be a way for them to be blessed because they're in that work, that you would point that out to them today. Show them, Lord, when they get to work, how they can be a blessing there, how they can change the culture, how they can show the way, how they can improve the lives of everybody that works there. And Lord, I pray that you would work within them, showing them how to do that. Give them the resources, Lord. Lord, I pray for those who are unable to work. And we know that there are some who would really wish they could work, but because of age or health are unable. And we pray that you would give them a sense of fulfillment that they have done what they could. For you do not call us to success, you call us to faithfulness. And Lord, we just pray that each one of us would be faithful in doing what we're able to do to make this world a better place, to redeem a fallen world. We thank you, Lord, for everyone here that's obedient to your ways. We thank you, Lord, for the way they work, for the way they care for their families and their babies and their grandbabies. We pray, Lord, your blessing on their families. God, pour out from heaven your blessings on each one here. They've come to worship you, Lord. And I pray that they will worship you all week, whatever they're doing. I pray for health, for longevity, for, Lord, that you would provide for their every need. That where there are challenges, Lord, that you would meet those challenges. For those who feel like there's just no way today, that you would provide a way. We pray for those who are grieving today, who just feel like they've lost their best friend, knowing, Lord, that their best friend is alive and well because you are their best friend. And I pray for though that they would know that their friend who they loved is in very good hands in eternity. Lord, we lost one of our own members this week in Jim Neff. We just pray your blessing there. We would ask, Lord, your comfort and your blessing for each person here. Whatever medical tests, whatever fear they have, Lord, whisper into their hearts. Tell them you've got this and help them, Lord. We love you. We praise you, God. What an awesome God we serve. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us and helping us, no matter what we're doing, to find purpose and meaning and joy. Now, Lord, guide us as we pray what Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of God.